So the subtitle for tonight's message is this: Stay with it. Stay with it. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Church, we got to stay with it. We must endure God's sanctifying grace. Now, what an unusual thing to say about grace, that we have to endure it. See, as Christians, we are accustomed to being taught that we endure trials, we endure tribulation, we endure suffering, and all of that is true. Those are things that we must endure. But grace? How is it that we must endure grace? I thought grace was good. Well, it is. Well, then, Pastor, why are you saying I have to endure it? Well, let's walk through this so that we can understand. First, let's define the word endure. Endure in the context of tonight's message means this: to bear without flinching. To bear without flinching. Endure also means to abide in. To abide in. And endure means to accept without resistance or protest. To accept without resistance or protest. When God's sanctifying grace is working in my life, I must bear it. I have to accept it without resistance or protest. Now we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1. Starting at verse 1, we're going to read the first 6 verses of Scripture. It says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What is Paul saying to the church at Philippi? He's saying, first of all, I thank God for you. Whenever you come to my mind, and whenever you come to my mind, I'm praying for you, and I'm making joyful petitions to God on your behalf. He's letting them know, I thank you for your contributions and for your participation in advancing the gospel. You all have been a good church. But then he says, and I am persuaded that he who began this good work in you is going to continue to do that work in you that is perfecting you, maturing you, growing you up until that work is completed. And that work is completed on the day of Jesus' return. Now, Paul is addressing two aspects of the church. When he's talking about the work that God began in them, he's saying that what you have done to advance the gospel, I expect that it's going to continue. But he's also talking to them about their personal growth and their development. And what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi is the same thing that is being said to us. See, by grace, a good work was started in us. We were saved. But yet God, through his sanctifying grace, keeps working on us. Day by day, he is maturing us. He is perfecting us, making us more and more like Christ. Well, how long does he do this? Notice that Paul does not say that God is going to work on you until you go home to be with the Lord. He says something very interesting. He says, God is going to keep on doing this work, and he's going to bring you to perfection, and that work is going to continue until Jesus returns. Yeah. So what that says is, while we are living, God is at work on the inside. He's at work on the inside, giving us the character of Jesus Christ. And yet, when we lay our bodies down, it's not over. Because when he returns, he's going to complete that work and make us perfect on the outside. You all remember what we learned last year? Yeah. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. Death will have no sting. The grave will have no victory. See, he is making us perfect. That sanctifying grace of God is working on us, making us perfect on the inside, and eventually it's going to make us perfect on the outside. When we rise from the dead, rise from the grave, we will be perfect inside and out. Perfect spirit, perfect attitude, perfect mind, perfect love, and perfect body. Yeah. That's a good thing. Amen. That is the sanctifying power of God's grace. Yeah. He who began this good work, he's going to keep on working. Amen. He didn't leave you once you left the altar. He's going to keep on working day by day to make us into Christ-like ones. That's a good thing. God's sanctifying grace is a good thing, and it's good for us. But make no mistake, in order for his sanctifying grace to be good for us, it has to work on us. It has to work on us. See, after Jesus saved us, he sent forth the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit began to work on us. You know what the Holy Spirit is like? He's like a sculptor. We're like a slab of marble, just undefined. And the Holy Ghost begins to work on us, and he begins to chisel away. And the chisel that he uses is the Word of God. And he begins to hammer at us with the Word of God. He is hammering away at ungodliness, hammering away at lust, hammering away at pride, hammering away at unforgiveness, incorrect thinking, selfishness. He is chiseling away with the Word of God. And he is working because that which cannot remain has to be pulled away. Yes. He's chiseling us so that we can become a beautiful and perfect work. And the final touches will be at the resurrection. Yes. He's chiseling away. See, you might say, well, Pastor, I thought that when we were saved, we were made new creatures in Christ. And that is true. We were changed. But the Bible is very clear that we were changed and we are being changed. Because what the Bible teaches us is that while we have a new relationship, we were enemies with God. Now we're children. And while we have a new spiritual condition, we have a new understanding, new desires, new affection. While we have all of this newness about us, the old me is hanging on. Amen. The old me is hanging on because the old me wants to keep on living. And the old me is not going away quietly. Amen. See, while the Word is hammering on me, hammering on my flesh is resisting. Amen. Every time the Word starts to penetrate your heart, your flesh gets restless. Amen. Flesh doesn't like what it's hearing, because the flesh is saying, what, you trying to kill me? I didn't agree to this. Amen. Because the Word is hammering away. Have you ever had a situation where you had an interaction with a person and they just did you wrong? And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, don't you open your mouth. Don't you respond. What happens when the Holy Spirit says that? Our flesh jumps right in.
Amen.
Flesh gets a little bolder, a little stronger. You gonna let them talk to you that way? You gonna let them get away with that? The flesh gets louder and louder and louder. Why? Because the flesh does not want to die. You are trying to kill me. So as the word is hammering away at me, my flesh is resisting. Then to make matters worse, the adversary, he's at work. Why? Because he wants to ruin you. And so he is always pressuring you to go the other way. So I have the flesh resisting and the adversary pressuring. So if I am going to allow God to sanctify me by his grace, I must expect this to happen. Church, I have to expect discomfort, but I have to stay with it. When God begins to hammer away on the inside, I must expect discomfort, but I have to stay with it. I must endure because my flesh is going to resist and the adversary is going to encourage me to rebel. But I have to know and realize I am not my flesh. You are not your flesh. And endurance is not a product of the flesh. Doesn't matter if your flesh likes it or doesn't. Endurance is a product of my will. That's what endurance is a product of. In other words, I have to make a decision and a determination. I have set my will to endure. As God is chiseling away at those unseemly parts of me, by his word, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to let the word correct me. I'm going to let the word minister to me. I'm going to endure what God is doing on the inside of me. Why? Because he is making me perfect.
Amen.
I have to set my will. See, I can say, God, this is uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable to my flesh. I don't like this. I don't really understand everything that you're saying or everything that you're doing, but God, I love you and I trust you. So I have decided to let the word have its work. And after I set my will, I must conform my conduct to my will. I must conform my conduct to my will. What do I mean by that? If I have made a decision that I'm going to allow the word of God to work on me, then I must back it up with how I act. Every day, I have to hear the word of God. I have to hear it and hear it again. Hear it and hear it again. I have to keep on studying the word of God. I have to keep on reading the word of God. I have to keep on praying out of the word of God. God, I need you to strengthen me to do what I have been taught. I have to hear it. I have to receive it. I have to pray out of it. And then I have to obey.
Amen.
Whatever those known instructions I have, God, I'm going to do right now what you've told me to do. God, I'm going to keep on trusting that no matter what the condition of my life is right now, no matter how complicated things are in my life right now, I am fully persuaded that you who have begun a good work in me, that you're going to complete it. Church, I have to stay with it. If I'm going to let God's grace sanctify me, I must endure three simple things. I must endure, point number one, God's instructions. I must endure God's instructions. See, we learn in Titus 2 that God's grace teaches us how to live righteously in the world.
Amen. Amen.
This is what happens. We learn God's word. And as we learn God's word, he begins to give us instructions based on what we have learned. God starts to tell us how to take the word and apply it to our lives. How to apply it to the situations in our lives. And when he does that, church, he starts to give us tough instructions.
Yeah.
He's chiseling at us with the word.